Father, we bless your glorious name. What a privilege again and opportunity, Lord, to come together and worship in the presence of the Lord. Lord, thank you, Father, for the day you have made again. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you. When you are leaving, say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. So we thank you, I am with you always. He says to the end of the world, we can count on it. So blessed be thy name, O Lord. Just for a few minutes there, I want to read your word, Lord. Father, I bless the reading of your word. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, the word of God teaches us that man is triune, right? That's what the Bible says. I read the scripture in the first Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, the Bible says, and soul and body are be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As in the early church, everything by the Lord is coming, like our brother just said now. The elect at the end time, they have the mind of Christ. They are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints is in the elect of the end time. See? That's why our eyes is always towards its coming. I mean, the message of the hour is the coming of the Lord. Anyway, so the whole spirit and soul and body, the preserved blameless, means that without corruption or defilement at the coming of the Lord, God's children. We are tested in all the three departments of our being. We are tested in all those three departments. Sickness may afflict the body. The soul may be troubled from a variety of valid and even invalid reasons. You know, people have been troubled by things that don't have any foundation, you know. And so we have it. Discouragement in the spirit happens. The day-to-day challenges of living in this crooked and perverse generation. The incessant wrestling against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, etc. Many Christians don't even know that they are in a warfare, really, you know. They don't know what is even comforting, what is comforting them. But it's right there in the word of God. So many of God's children are covetous, with combating all this with prayer. Praise God for that. Relatively few go a little further by fasting with their prayer. And yet even fewer, you know or employ a powerful ally to prayer and fasting, you know. An ally that constitutes what I call a sure cure. It's a sure cure when you combine this ally with prayer and fasting and all that, you know. So this cure works for all challenges that you may face in your life as a Christian. You know, it works. It is the most expensive cure ever known, but the price was paid by another. For it was purchased, according to the word of God, in 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the Bible says. What is this cure there? This morning, the value of praise. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. The value of praise. It is praise. Good to pray, good to fast, but many of the God's children, they miss the value of praising God, worshiping the Lord. So this morning, the value of praise. Though priceless, even the poorest may employ its fullest benefit. Yeah, you know, fullest benefit of praising God. This is because it is most readily applied by simply singing yourself into it, as instructed in the word of God. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this. This is how I enter into it. Enter into its gates with thanksgiving, and into its courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We can sing ourselves and shout ourselves into it. And, you know, sing ourselves, shout ourselves through things that we can't get into or get through any other way. Yeah, fasting is good, praying is good, but there are certain things you can't even know, that you can't even get through but by praising God, you know. So we should, and we do most of the other two before, but the other one we don't normally, you know, we don't pay much attention as well as, you know, as we see. We just touch this money as the only to be left. And we can, and we can stand on God's word for all our needs, after we have met God's condition. Yes. We can place our way through to a perfect manifested victory. This morning, the value of prayer. Yes. Place your way through to a perfect manifested victory. This praise cure never fails. When the praise is the outflow of a heart resting on God's unchanging word. See? Yes. The praise cure works every time. Don't fail you. The praise cure is not unpleasant. Rather, it is delightful. The cause of the praise cure, like I said before, has been met for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The praise cure is available this moment to everyone, child of God. Yes, there is. We are told how to get it started in our lives anytime you want to do it. In the last clause of 1 Peter 1:8, I read before, it says, what is the clause? Believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can get your preacher last week from rejoicing in the Lord. The full text of that scripture says that in whom, you know, having not seen, you know, you believe him as well as you know. So anyway, so begin to praise the Lord and so and rejoice. We are told, we just believe that, believe God's word. How do you get started? And say that, the Lord Jesus has done for us. You believe what the Bible says God has done for us in our spirit, in our soul, and our body. And begin to magnify and praise the Lord. So we just believe what the word of God says that the Lord Jesus has done for us in our spirit, our soul, and our body. Then we think about it, we talk about it, we sing about it, shout about it, and the faith cure will begin to work for you. Many of the time, we think so much of what we are going through. How about praising God? How about letting you know how many of us, by taking thought, and had one cubic to our stature, the Bible says, you know. So if you can do that which is least, why worry about the rest, you know? Turn into praising God. Turn into magnify the name of the Lord. Why bow down in your David said, oh my heart, why you bow down before me? You know? And so on. He says, look unto God. You know, praise the Lord and so on, you know, don't be bowed down. Look unto the Almighty God and so on, you know. And begin to praise the Lord and no matter what confronts you, you are going to win. So the prescribed frequency of how often or how often we apply this cure is this, is at all times. I'm comparing it to medical thing, right? How often do you take the, you know, the praise cure? You know, the value of praise. All times. Bible says in Psalm 34, verse, I believe it's verse, it says verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's how often you take the praise cure, right? All times. Whether you are happy, the so-called happiness, or you're not happy, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, there you go, that's the frequency of how you take the praise cure. You know, in my mouth, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's how often you take the praise cure, right? The value of praise. You know? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 119 says, verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee. David said, you know, something like that. So, the scriptures give many instances of the victories of praise. We touched some of them really quickly, you know, this morning. It was when Jehoshaphat and his people began to sing and to praise that the Lord destroyed the invading army against Jerusalem. Messengers came to King Jehoshaphat of Judah and told him that a powerful enemy was coming against him. This time around, it was no minor border skirmish, no, but a coalition of nations led by Israel's longtime enemies, Moab and Ammon, together with others from Syria. They were advancing rapidly towards Jerusalem with a large army. Jehoshaphat realized that the odds were stacked against him. See, what are you feeling today? Not that we face this kind of thing. Odds are stacked against you. What do you do? In the natural, there was no way to avoid disaster. And the situation appearing so hopeless, the man of God, he was a man of God, one of the godly kings of Judah, the king rallied all the people of the land to seek God in prayer and fasting. Then a prophet began to, by name, Jahaziel, he said, by name, was sent to them, who told them not to be afraid or discouraged, to face this large army, and that the Lord will give them victory. Victory without any fighting. See, when you turn over your case to the Lord, he will fight your battle for you, you know. After the king had encouraged the people to believe in the Lord and his prophet, just hear the prophet right now, believe the Lord. And the prophet and some other kingdom will prosper and so on. Then he employed the praise cure, which I'm talking about this morning. Here they fasted, then they are prayed. They had to put the final touch, the great ally, praise, to get the battle done. So in 2 Chronicles 20, 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and as you praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army, they put the praise before the army, right? Not the ammunition, not the tanks, not the airplane and so forth, as you know, and they went before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's what they were singing, you know, and so on, that you know. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Amasiah, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten, see, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mansia, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Syria, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, falling to the earth, and none escaped. See? They get the thing done by the praise cure. You need to praise the Lord, and that's when the Lord stepped in and they destroyed their enemies for them. Well, we're not called to carry guns as Christian or any kind of thing like that. Our own weapon is not carnal. They are mighty through God to the plan of strongholds. But the same thing works. Praise in our armory, you know, that we use and so on. Praise works too, you know, in our own calling, in our own spiritual fight, you know, in this dispensation. You know, so we see right there. We can see another one. It was when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God that they were delivered from prison. Supernatural thing happened. Talking about the value of praise, right? It could be a military, like we just read from Jehoshaphat. As a spiritual, you got it, you get the same victory by the knowing how to praise the Lord, you know, and put praise in its proper place in our life and so forth, in our spiritual work and so forth. So it was when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God that they were delivered from prison. We know in that story, the exploiters of the housewife demon-possessed girl, you know, Brother Paul has just delivered this girl with the spirit of divination in Acts 16 and so forth. And the master who made the money through her divination were mad. And they still have all kind of false accusations against Paul and Silas and so forth. Anyway, what happened there? So the expressions of the half-wise demon-possessed girl in Acts 16 had dragged brother Paul and Silas before the magistrates, who without any investigation had them stripped, handed them over to the police to be beaten. They were afterwards locked up in the innermost part of the city jail and had their feet in stocks. It didn't appear to that other man that these apostles had much to be thankful for, right? Did they? You know, in the natural eyes. Not these apostles, but by midnight, they had recovered some, and then they had a prayer meeting, I believe, in which they presented their case before the Lord. Perhaps, and I believe, they pray for those jailers who beat them. They pray for those people, I believe it's so, you know, who mistreated them, right? They have learned from the Lord and so on, that, you know. Bled in that curse you, right? You know, so they know those things, but I thought know those things, you know. Anyway, so they had a prayer meeting, and they were praising the Lord, and so on, and that, you know. And after that, they sang gospel hymns, which all the prisoners had. The Bible said in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners had them. Didn't they just sit quietly, don't disturb the jailer, don't disturb the prisoner. They didn't say that and so on. They didn't care anymore. We are already in prison. What does it mean? They just, everybody heard them at midnight. Whether you wake up or not, we are serving the living God. They just shouted it out. See? And the Bible says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaking. Wow. The value of praise. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. So these are physical chains and so on. Even spiritual one can be broken too by the same praise, you know. It was a new experience to these men to hear people singing in prison. Can you imagine? Who people were bleeding, who had been beaten, and they were bleeding and all that, you know. What a strange thing in the prison. And they were tired. Never seen anything like that before in their life. And of course, they see the sign and wonder from God, never seen before too, right? So when you praise God like that and so on. So the jailer awakened out of his sleep, to his worst fears. I mean, was realized. The earthquake had opened the door of the prison and everyone's bands were loosing, the Bible says. He assumed the prisoners were escaping and believing that all was lost was on the verge of committing suicide. And Apostle Paul, Paul, you know, in the dim light, there was darkness and some of that, you know, Apostle Paul, the dim light, perceived what this man was trying to do to kill himself. Then in verse 25, Acts 16, do thyself no harm. We are all here. See? The fact that the other prisoners had not even escaped shows how much they were affected by the apostle praying and singing. They could have just escaped as an opportunity, right? They didn't go. Even after they could have just escaped. They didn't go. You know what? Why? They were awed by the phenomenon brought about by God's children praising God in the midst of adversity, you know, and the discouragement and things like that, you know. They were so awed that rather than attempting to escape, they wanted to learn more about these fellow prisoners and the strange religious they had, you know. They were wondering, what kind of people are these? The jailer could not see in the darkness, but being assured by Paul's voice that he's not going anywhere, he put his word back and called for a light. And he came trembling, the Bible says, and he fell down at the apostles' feet and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's in Acts 16:30. So, what did Jada know about salvation? How did he know about salvation? How did he know about salvation? This Jada has come, you know, to be saved and so on. We believe probably that he had heard the story of the girl that was delivered, that brought all these things upon the apostles and so on, that, you know, how a girl was delivered from divination by Paul and so on. And or maybe he had inquired and learned, you know, a little about what Paul and Silas were preaching. Maybe before he fell asleep, he had the singing of Paul and Silas, maybe praising the name of the Lord Jesus and so on, that, you know, singing spiritual songs that the Bible, Paul will read to us and so on, that, you know, and making melody in their hearts today. But maybe he had all those things. One way or the other, he knew that there's something about salvation, right? What should I do to be saved, you know? So, and the Bible, they told him what he should do. So anyway, and, you know, so at any rate, he had had enough to inquire about the way of salvation, you know. And so, in answer to his question, the apostle proclaimed Christ to him in verse 31 of Acts 16. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And he took them, and they spake to him, the Bible said, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And it took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, verse 33, and was baptized, and he and all his, straight away. And when he had brought them to his house, he set meat before them. All happened that same night, and so on, because this is the guy's midnight. This thing happened all over the night when the Holy Ghost fell, because God's children learn to praise God. Look at what blessing and so forth that, you know, that came. The whole family was saved. So there we see an awesome display of God's power to deliver his anointed ones, his apostles, from prison. And the whole family converted to Christ just by learning to praise God, the value of praise. All because Paul and Silas sang and praised God even in an hour of suffering and discouragement. God is no respecter of man. If he learns to do the kind of thing, no matter what we face, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, right? Do the same thing for us. Now, let's go forward. It was when the trumpeters, praising God, will bring the special presence of God to you and me, anytime, any place, you know, you are an angel, will come near you. They like to come around like never before, those who praise God. Anyway, so you can come to a special presence of God by learning to praise God. It was when the trumpeters and singers praised the Lord together in Solomon's temple that the glory of the Lord filled the temple during the dedication of the temple of Solomon. I mean, the value of praise, right, can bring forth a special presence of the Lord to you and I. 2 Chronicles 5:11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, when they had set the ark in the new temple, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by cause. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeshubim, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white, then having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, standing with trumpets. Even the people were standing with trumpets, right? And verse 13 says, It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were at one to make one sound. They were in unity, right? They were in one accord to make one sound. They were so united and so one accord to be heard, you know, in praising and thanking the Lord. Talking about the value of praise, right? And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Isn't that what Joshua was thinking about when God delivered them from those invading armies? The same thing, right? For the Lord is good, mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14 says, so that the priest could not turn to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord have filled the house of God. Well, that cloud is not an ordinary cloud, brethren. So that cloud mentioned here is not a dazzling brightness, as some may think. Rather, it is a cloud of heavenly glory. Even Solomon, in the reading of this same text in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, Solomon told the people. For Solomon told the people, the priests and the people, that the appearance of the cloud, that is in 1 Kings 8, 12, the appearance of the cloud was not a sign of divine displeasure, no, but a token of approval, a visible symbol of God's presence by praising God. That is in 1 Kings 8, 12. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that he will dwell in the thick darkness. So it is the glory of the Lord that you are seeing, not just ordinary cloud, or just a mere darkness or any kind of a darkness. God came in a special way as they were praising God with loud voice and trumpet and so forth. Now, God always asks the same all the time. Even Moses, when God commanded him to build a tabernacle, set up a tabernacle in the desert and so on, the cloud came upon him and Moses could not minister. Let's see that. God always had the same line. Now, in Exodus 40, verse 1. So likewise, Moses was unable to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud, the same glory cloud, right? Exodus 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, on the first day of the fourth month shall thou set up the tabernacle, of the tent of the congregation. Then he keep on going. 33rd verse. When he finished doing it, and the rear of the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Like Solomon finished the temple, right? And they were facing God, right? What happened next? Verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See, God never changed the way he does it, right? The tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud. Because the cloud abode thereof, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See? So God is always there. Whether it's a little tent in the wilderness and God is in the air and something like that, you know. So when we praise God and something like that, you know. Now, the dedication of this temple of Solomon and the appearance of the glory of God in that temple, where the singers praise the Lord, has a parallel in the New Testament too, you know. As the temple was the habitation of God in the Old Testament days, so the church, which has a bath on the day of Pentecost, became a new temple of the Lord. We are told by Brother Stephen, speaking by the Holy Ghost in Acts 7:47, but Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, said the Lord, or what is the house of my rest? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? I think if Christians think about this scripture so often, we're going to carry ourselves better, that you are the very temple of God. Whether you feel or not doesn't change God. He has done what he said he will do, amen. You are what he says you are. You may not use it, I may not use it, as we also use it. Anyway, so it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. What about scripture? 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we see something, I don't know, actually there were 120 priests in Solomon's temple. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says so. When the singers and trumpeters praise the Lord and the glory of the Lord fill the house of God like we read before. So did the Holy Ghost fall on 120 believers while praising and blessing God on the day of Pentecost. For we read in Luke 24, as the Lord was going to heaven, he gave me a commandment, go back to Jerusalem and tarry there, right? So now, Luke 24, verse 51. And it came to pass, see, what happened in the Old Testament is always a shadow of what's going to happen in the new. Anyway, and it came to pass, Luke 24:51, came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried off into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple doing what? Praising and blessing God. The Bible says amen there, you know. Continually. The same thing. See, the value of praise. Ain't it? No? Remember there? Continually praising God. David said, we bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, the same word, be in my mouth. The value of praise. Anyway, going through, you can continue to Acts 2:1. When they were doing that what happened? You know, Acts 2:1 through verse 4. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. You know, but what precedes that is Luke 24, verse 15. I just read to you. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. I take time to read the Acts 2:1-4. The blessed script and so on. And when the Holy, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Just like those trumpeters in Solomon's temple, when they were singing and beating, you know, it sounded like one sound, you see? You know, and something like that, you know? And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and he filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we were told that their number was 120 also, because previously in Acts 1:15 we were told, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the people or disciples and said, the number of them, the Bible says, being 120. So we see a type in the Old Testament and so on, that you know. Now, let's move forward. The book of Psalms, talking about the value of praise. The book of Psalms is a book of praise inspired by the Holy Spirit, which has been used by the people of God in all ages. And even the Lord Jesus himself used it. And that book is full of praise. I'm going to read a couple of verses from there, you know, just to add more blessings to this thing called the value of praise. The first five verses of Psalm 103, speaking of these things, are redemption. So Psalm 103, the first few verses, say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, our redemption and so on, that you know. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, he said. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who connect thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So the book of Psalms is a book of praise. And we are given many, many instructions there, you know, what praise did and so on. Psalm 9, let's see a couple of them now. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. See, the three psalms of Israel. The one is what? By praising God. Psalm 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Wow, the value of praise. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song I will praise him. Psalm 33 verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Yeah, the upright wants to praise the Lord all the time, right? Psalm 35 verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. Anywhere I praise the Lord. Men ought to lift up holy hands everywhere, right? In the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Whether I'm alone, whether I'm in the middle of congregation, whether I am, I will praise the Lord. The value of praise. He has known the value of it. That delivered him from many, many sinners and some of that, you know. Psalm 44 verse 8. In God, we boast all day long. People boast, some people boast in their own way or whatever, but children of God, in God, we boast all day long. And praise thy name forever. See? Forever. Say that. So we know. So anyway. Psalm 50. The value of praise. Psalm 50 verse 23. Whosoever offers praise, glorify me. The Bible says, the Lord says, and to him that others his conversation arise, will I show the salvation of God. So just to even glorify God. Praise glorify God, right? The value of praise. Psalm 52 verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy sins. Now, Psalm 57 verse 9. I will praise thee, O Lord. Just on sample, from the book of Psalm, the book of praise. Psalm 57 verse 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Psalm 61 verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 66 verse 2. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Not just even praising him. Make his praise, his praise glorious. You can see all this across the Bible and so on, but in the book of Psalms especially to tell you the value of it. That's why the Bible puts it like that. The value of it. I mean, it's immeasurable. Immeasurable and so on, that, you know. Psalm 69 verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. He said, you know, in Psalm 100 verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Then on to 79, you know, what do the people of God do? What do the sheep do? Psalm 79 verse 13. We thy people and sheep of thy pasture, we give thee thanks forever. See? Not when I'm happy. No. Or when I'm cast down. Forever. Anytime. At all times. Right? It is the cure that can never fail. When everything else fails, praising God and magnifying him will not fail you. You know? Thank God for praying. Thank God for fasting. You know? But pray is the cure of almost all things and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so I praise you forever. We will show for thy praise to all generations, he says. Psalm 104, 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. See? The letter of God, the value of praise. As long as I live, you know. I will sing praise to my God when I have my being. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let's read the last chapter, the book of Psalms. It's all about praising God, right? He sealed it up. The book of Psalms was sealed up to emphasize the value of praising God. So Psalm 150. I will praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpets, that those trumpeters in the Solomon's temple, right? Sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organ. Praise Him upon the loud timbrel. Praise Him upon the high-sounding silver. Let everything, He says, that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let us praise the Lord for the fullness of redemption that He has purchased for us. Remember in Luke chapter 19, as it was entered Jerusalem for the last time, the people were praising Him and so on. Let me give that to you quickly. The Lord Himself validated the value of praise. Luke 19, as He was entering Jerusalem, 37. And when He was came nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. They remember the dead raised up after 4 days, Lazarus. They remember the 10 lepers that were cleansed, the man with withered hand, all kind of miracles. And as He was entering Jerusalem, they could not hold themselves. The righteous, I mean the people that know the Lord, that know the Lord, they couldn't keep quiet. Loud voice, just praising God as He was entering there. So and the Lord shall end that. No? Saying, let be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke the disciples, you know. So they were really disciples, really. They are really the believing ones who are shouting praises, right? You know, the disciples. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out. So the Lord validated praise, you know, and the value thereof and to us. Even the Lord Himself taught the same thing. At one time He taught Him, Lord, teach us how to pray, you know. So in Matthew 6, you know that the first part, in Matthew 6:10, He began by praise. So, and so, thy kingdom come, see, praising the Father. That will be done in earth as in heaven. At the close of that prayer, verse 13, you know, for thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. So He taught us that true prayer begins and ends with praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Or effective prayer. I don't say true prayer. There are many true prayers, but effective prayer begins and ends with praise. That's what the Lord is teaching us right here. So this morning, praise is the only unfailing cure that has ever been discovered or ever will be discovered. Praise Him for what He has done already. The powers of heaven and earth, the power to move mountains, is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. Praise be the Lord. Father, we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we live, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord at all times, you know, and we bless You forever and ever. Lord, as it was once said, O Lord, we want to praise the Lord on earth to make those angels who are before the throne that say, holy, 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 holy. We want to praise You on earth to make them feel like they're not praising, they haven't praised God enough. Even though that's what they know how to do. That's why I want to praise God right on this earth. So we thank You for sharing the value of praise, the effectiveness, the power thereof. Bible says that praises me, glorifies me. For that alone, Lord, we want to live continually in praise. No matter what condition or situation we are in, Lord. And Lord, the blessings thereof are immeasurable. We thank You this morning for refreshing our mind and reminding us one of the weapons of our warfare, you know, against the enemy. So thank You this morning, Lord, as we go. Let us live a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving. Lord, one of these days, I want to be in the place of praise. When He shows up and get that call, say, come up hither. Grant it unto us, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.